Aren't you glad that you can be at a certain spot in life and you can begin anew?
Yeah.
Amen. I don't mean that, you know, you can just keep starting over every day to run from something. But at the same time, I want to just begin to encourage you that all of these messages, there'll be seven of them, actually six, five on a Sunday, because Wendy took last Sunday and I did it on Wednesday. But June 1st, a real close friend of mine is going to be with us in service. His name is Ty Bean. He and his wife, Heather, are on vacation. They're coming through Twin Falls, and I'm so thrilled. I serve on his board in Hobbs, New Mexico. And Ty's background is cool background. He was out of Phoenix First Assembly with Tommy Barnett. And have any of you ever heard of human videos? How many of you have? Okay. Human videos are where somebody would have a song playing in the background and an actor or the minister, whatever, would act out the song in a very dramatic way. And Ty's the guy that started that stuff. And he did it years and years ago, and it just kind of caught on. And for a long time in the body of Christ, there was, in certain streams, there was human videos done at conferences and whatever, and they're very, very powerful. I mean, I don't know. I've seen Ty do many human videos, and you know, at the end of it, you're just crying or something. Just, it's amazing what can take place. But I doubt that he'll do one here, but I could ask him, but I know his answer. But Ty's going to be with us, and he'll be here on June 1st. And so that Sunday, I will, either the Wednesday prior or the Wednesday after, I'll deliver the next Pentecost deal in that. But the whole thing in all of this is to not only celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday, but to try to put us in the lives of the disciples from the time that Christ rose again from the dead. I think if you can kind of, at least in, if nothing else, if we can walk through it in a timeline, I think it kind of maybe helps make it all come alive a little bit better. But there's some, I'll just say this, almost prophetically, there's some that you really do need a new beginning. And what I mean by that is that maybe life's just been incredibly tough or whatever. I just want to encourage you in God. The Holy Spirit of God can make things new. Amen? And you don't have to live in the past of a condemnation of this, that, or the other. And I just want you to know that Pentecost is really all about a new beginning. And so the first one we talked about was the why. And the question of why, when it comes to things happening in our lives, is a very common question. And the disciples, if you think about the Easter story, all of it leading to the death and resurrection of Christ, one could argue for sure, without fail, because people are people. We're of a different era, but we're still people. And the human condition, when it comes to things happening in life, we all want to know why. Are you with me? Why did this happen? And the disciples, here's the thing that's just really important when it comes to this thing of why. You've heard me say before, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it again, is that why, the question of why is not a misguided question, but staying on why will always lead, I know it's a dogmatic statement, staying on why will always lead to a misguided conclusion, and I'll tell you why. Most of the time, we don't give the question of why from a point of discovery. Let me explain what I mean by that. When the angel of the Lord came to Elizabeth and said that she was going to bring forth a forerunner, what was his name?
John
the Baptist, right? John's dad, what was his name? How did he question? Just think about it. He asked basically the exact same question as Mary. However, there was an agenda behind his question. Mary's was a question from a point of discovery. It's very, very important to get those two things figured out. The angel of the Lord came to Mary and said, the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you and you're going to bring forth the Son of God. And her deal was almost exactly verbatim what Zechariah's was. However, hers was from a point of discovery. How can these things be? Versus, oh, how can that be? There's a completely different vibe between those two things. Are you with me? One's from a, cool, God, I believe you can. How's it going to happen? Versus, prove it. How's it going to happen? Are you with me? It's kind of like, fine, Dorette, I'm sorry if it'll make you feel better. Or, you know, honey, I was wrong, and saying I'm sorry, if it'll make you feel better, I want you to know I'm really sorry. And maybe you know there's a whole different deal behind those two things. The question of why involves a similar deal. Asking God why something happened is an okay thing, especially when you're asking it from a point of discovery. Okay? But much of the time, I'll even go a little bit further and say, most of the time, the question of why is birthed out of a need to fill in the blank. And when we don't get an answer in our time frame, or an answer at all, humans begin to fill in the blanks. That's just how we're wired. In case you don't believe that, the story of the disciples is a perfect example. For 3 years, they walked with Jesus. At the very end, how many of you know we have still two brothers arguing with Jesus of who's going to sit on the right and who's going to sit on the left? Why? Because Jesus talked about a kingdom, they filled it in with their own human understanding. Jesus talked about this kingdom of God that was here upon this earth. What did they do? They filled in the blanks and go, oh, so it must look like this, 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 this. Human minds want to fill it in. I don't care how spiritual you are or how spiritual you may feel like, you know, whatever, you got things figured out. We want to fill in the blanks. That's why if we stay on the question of why, it will always lead to a misguided conclusion. Because if God doesn't answer, we'll even fill in why we think he didn't answer. And so we'll end up with whatever. So what are you saying, Pastor? Go ahead and ask why, but you can't camp at why. Just realize that we got to get to this next one we're going to talk about today, because that's the thing that will begin to at least allow us to stay healthy in the midst of going through whatever. And it's coming through this thing called trust. Everybody say trust. The disciples in the Easter story, the followers of Christ. And the reason I use that term followers of Christ, because Christian wasn't applied for years to come, right? They were just simply followers of Christ. In fact, earliest Christianity, right after the cross, was really just a bunch of Jews that were just a sect of Jews that believed Jesus was the Messiah. That's all. And they were called followers of Christ. They weren't called Christians. That designation didn't come until years later. But the thing is they had to come to a spot in their life. They went, you know what? I will trust. Everybody say, I will trust. Now that's really important, is that we come to this place that says, I will trust. And I liken it this way. Have a predetermined plan, a predetermined response, so that when something happens in your life, you have a place to stand on. Are you with me? That predetermined response for the believer, I believe, needs to be this. God, no matter what, I will trust you. Amen? Every day, one of the things that I vocalize to God every day. I did it this morning while I was shaving with my electric razor, looking in the mirror. I said this, I say this every day. Father, today I want you to know I place my full faith and trust in you. And Lord, no matter what takes place this day, I want you to know I will trust you, period. Okay? Saw expressions on people's faces. As soon as I said that, the expression on their face, why would you say that? It's like you're looking for something bad to happen. Oh. Unless you can read the future, stuff will happen that you will not be able to understand at some point in time in life. My predetermined response is, I don't care what happens, I will trust you. Amen? So that when I get horizontal today, it's called bed, when I get horizontal today, regardless of what this day has held, so far, this has been an awesome day. I get to come to the house of God, worship with family. It's been an awesome day. But you know what? I don't know what may happen today. My desire is that it just is an awesome day. Amen? But I don't know what news I may get about somebody here, somebody, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to get today, but I know this. Tomorrow morning, when I look in the mirror, I probably won't shave tomorrow. I don't shave on Mondays, but I do brush my teeth in the mornings. So when I'm looking in that mirror, you know what God's going to hear tomorrow? No matter what happens today, God, I want you to know my trust is in you. You're the one whom I place all of my trust. You see, trust is an unmovable stance or position that says where you're planted. Amen? In the Hebrew, trust means to take refuge in, to run to for protection, and to place your confidence in. Now think about all that. Who's the best place to put our trust in? God. St. Augustine says this, trust God with your past because of his mercy, your present because of his love, and your future because of his will. Think about that. I know what his plan is. His plan's good, not of evil. Okay, but evil things do happen. Or some stuff that's just not evil, not good. Some stuff just happens, and a predetermined response is what every believer needs. Okay? Are you with me? Let me tell you what, say this. In the world of self-defense, here's what's said. Luck goes to the prepared, always. What do you mean by that? If you just go along in life, if somebody has trained in self-defense and maybe somebody tries to mug them or something, here's what law enforcement, all self-defense stuff say, is that luck always goes to those who are prepared. Okay? Let me ask you, what is our military doing right now? There is a couple hot spots in the world that our military is maybe under the gun. But you know, by and large, you know what the American military is doing right now? We'll do today, we'll do tomorrow, we'll do the next day, we'll do the next day. They will be preparing. They'll be training. Now listen, I can see some of the expressions on your faces. It's very interesting. You're really having a difficult time with this because you're thinking that. I'm saying that we should look for evil. I'm not. Being prepared for it when it happens is completely different than expecting it to happen. Are you with me? It's interesting. You can really see the expression. Some of you would be horrible poker players. Really, it's like you can read it. You know, read what you're thinking right now. We're not expecting bad to happen. But I'm going to say one thing. Should something happen that causes a why question, Lynn Shaw is prepared to respond with, I will trust you. Now that has a whole list of outlines underneath of it. So that God, my trust is in you, so you know what? When the emotion of the moment, whatever that may be, confusion, hurt, whatever it may be, just begins to rush in, I already know what my first response is going to be, I will trust God. Which for me says, so I will come out the other side of this healthy. I will come out the other side of this still upright. I'll come out the other side of this even victorious, because we know that in him we're more than conquerors. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. But listen, that only applies to people that put their trust in him. That shield of protection that we're looking for God, we're going to find out in many of the scriptures that we read, that shield of protection is only available to those who have their trust in God. Amen? Let's read some scripture. I'm just going to read a bunch of scripture. Is that okay? 2 Samuel 22:3. The God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. 2 Samuel 22:31. Go back a page. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He's a shield to all who trust in him. Shield from what? Have you ever wondered what that shield is? Well, the first thing that we think of a shield as is it's a shield of protection. But here's the kicker. A shield only protects when something is coming against the shield. Otherwise, the shield is shade. You ever thought about that? So that when something is coming against, it's a shield from not only, let's say, the onslaught, but how many of you know there's a time that we need to be shielded from our own thoughts? So our own thoughts can run crazy at times. Our emotions sometimes can go places that it maybe ought not to go, right? But if we have a predetermined response that no matter what happens in life, my trust is in God, what I think it does is I think it puts our feet on the ground. Psalms 9. Now, we're going to read quite a few scriptures in the psalm, and I'll explain why. Psalms 9:10. Those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. 18:30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He's a shield to all who trust him. That sounds just like 2 Samuel, doesn't it? 20 verse 7, it's the same reference, by the way. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. In other words, what's the understood deal there? Some trust in horses and chariots, but we trust in God. What does that mean? First of all, every person in this room is putting their trust somewhere. Amen? Whether we have articulated where we've put our trust, we're trusting in something. The world that we live in is a very humanistic world. The hero in the world today is you, right? We put our trust in ourselves, our own ability to do whatever. Okay, well, one thing I would buy is that we do have the ability to choose. It's just that if we choose us, I don't know about you, but whenever I've choosed myself for an extended amount of time, it usually doesn't end up good. But when I choose God, it's a whole different story, right? So we're putting our trust in something. Some people put, let's say, their financial trust, their financial well-being, they might put it in investments. Some, maybe their financial well-being, they trust in their job. Well, how many of you know investments can go south, job can go south? Let's put our trust in God. Psalms 31, 4. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord, and I say, you are my God. Verse 19. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you've laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. 34, 22. The Lord redeems the souls of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. 36, 7. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. 37, 3. Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness. Two verses later. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. 56, 3. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. Verse 4, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. Verse 11, in God I've put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Well, how many of you know man can do a lot to you? Now, let's get the context. I've read umpteen scriptures from David. Let me ask you a question. Look at the life of David. He wrote many of the Psalms. He didn't write all of them, but he wrote many of the Psalms. He wrote most of them. Did he have a why in his life? You may not have ever thought about that before. Do you think he had a why in his life? Yes. I can guarantee you did. Where did the why come? I'm just this little shepherd boy wanting to obey my dad. I'm out with the sheep. I get called in. I bring food to my brothers. I get called in and some man of God lays their hand on me and tells me I'm the anointed king. Can you imagine that would generate a why? Now stop about think about this, but go further. The next whys in his life would be devastating lies. Wise. Here he comes and aligns and serves his king. He serves King Saul. And now this guy whom he serves turns around and does what? Tries to kill him on many occasions. Do you think he had any whys in his life to deal with? You can better believe it. And I'll guarantee you, that's why all of these scriptures come out that I'm going to trust you. Is because in the midst of whys, we have to quickly, as believers, come to a place that we say, listen, I can't figure this out, but one thing I can do. I can't determine my future, but one thing I can do is put my faith and trust. I can get that position of strength to say, my trust is in you, no matter what's happening around me. I can't figure it out, God, but one thing I can do, I can put my faith and trust in you. David then goes on. Here's this little shepherd boy that just wants to be a good son, do well by his father, protect the sheep, fight with a lion and a bear. He didn't have to. Death loss in a herd happens all the time. But he went above and beyond. And then he serves a king. The whole world at the time, in terms of the children of Israel, knew, saw the anointing on David's life. And then all of a sudden, can you just imagine why those questions would run through his head? It's like, you know what? All I wanted to do is serve God, and some guy's trying to kill me. Are you with me? I don't know how many times Pastor Rex and I, in our meetings together, you know, something would take place that, you know, we had to deal with on a pastoral level. I don't know how many times Pastor Rex, literally, in the midst of a really a tough situation that you may or may not ever be aware of, there's many things that happen that, you know, just aren't public stuff. But we'd look at one another and it's almost like who could get it out first. We'd say this, all we wanted to do was preach. And then this, and then this, and then, you know, whatever it may be. David, I guarantee you, well, I can't guarantee you. I think very strongly, all these trust scriptures that David talked about are because he had so many whys that he had to come very quickly, come to a point and say, you know what, I can't figure it all out, but I know one thing, I'm trusting God. When David sinned, how many of you know David committed an incredible crime? On top of the sin, right? He has eyes for this woman. And so he has that woman's husband sent to the front lines, knowing full well David sent him there so he'd get killed. Boy, that's a nice guy. Do you think David even ever wondered why he did that? In case you're one to very quickly judge others, you got to look at the life of David. Do you think David set out to do that? Not explaining, not giving him a break that it was good to do, stupid to do. You know, in my lifetime, in the ministry world, there's been a few failures on a national level. But one thing I do believe, as much as I agree, despicable, this, that, or the other, whatever it may be, one thing I do believe, though, is not a one of those men or women set out to do that. When they set out to follow God and obey the call of God on their life, Not do I believe in any one of them that they set out, let's see, I'll serve God for 20 years, and then when I'm world famous, I'm going to sin. Not a one of them did that. All of these, and I just picked some of my favorite trust scriptures from the Psalms. You really got to ask yourself, why are they there so much? I believe it's very similar to the early church. We don't understand why this all went this way. I thought he was the Messiah. I thought this, and then to stand by and watch him go through the trial and watch him get killed the way he did, and then all of a sudden he raises from the dead, walks with two guys, shows himself to two guys, and then soon as they recognize it's him, poof, there he is. And then all of this thing, now we're supposed to be the church. What does that mean? I thought it was going to look like this. Who's going to sit on the right? Who's going to sit on the left? What do we do now? Why? Do you think Peter ever wondered why Jesus was able to say, you will deny me three times? Do you think Peter set out to go, I'm going to deny him, and you know, it's going to be a great, interesting story to the four Gospels, so I'll deny him three times. In our following of God, guys, as quickly as we can get, the better. And that's why I think it's important that we develop a plan of action. That when things happen, our original response is, I will trust. I don't care what just happened here. I may get it figured out. I may never ever get it figured out. But I know one thing. My trust resides in my Creator. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He will keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. Amen? That's an important thing. That's that training, guys. That's very similar to the military. Because you know what? Should American soil be attacked, I can guarantee you this about the American military, about every branch of service. You know what? Should there ever be, God forbid, an attack on the United States, I can guarantee you this. Every soldier in the United States Armed Forces without fail will know what to do. Why? Because in the midst of peace, they have a predetermined, and they've planned it. They've had a predetermined response to what happens. Wouldn't it make sense for us as believers? Paul even said we're soldiers. Wouldn't it make sense for us as believers that instead of finding ourselves just lost for what do we do now? Wouldn't it be great if every believer on the face of the earth just said this, you know what, here's what I'm training for. I'm not training for in terms of expecting a bad thing to happen, but I am training that should something happen, I know exactly what I will do. I will trust God. It's not going to knock me out of the game of life. Doesn't matter. I will trust God. That's comforting. That's comforting for that United States Armed Forces person to know that should something happen, we're prepared. Amen? Not a one of them are hoping that American soil is attacked. I mean, that's absurd. Not a one of us as a believer should look for an attack just so we can prove how strong we are. No, but our trust is in God. Amen? Let me read you a quote by E.M. Bounds. Wrote a lot about prayer. When trust is perfect, and there's no doubt, prayer is simply the outstretched hand ready to receive. Isn't that good? That's a great picture. Trust perfected is prayer perfected. Trust looks to receive the things asked for and gets it. Trust is not a belief that God can bless, but that he does bless here and now. Trust always operates in the present tense. Hope looks to the future. Trust looks to the present. Hope expects, trust possesses. That's interesting. It's good to know that when we place our trust in God, our feet get firmly planted to where then whatever happens, it's not going to knock us out. Amen? So we'll continue on with that.